All right. Let's see here. Okay. So we're going to start off here tonight. And as we do, think about the sharing that I'm going to do tonight. Think about how you would feel if you had a prison sentence, a lengthy, lengthy prison sentence, and you're coming to the end of it. Okay? You're coming to the very last year, last 2 years, all the things that you're thinking you're going to be doing that you've missed out on or the things that you wish to have, you know, the home that you had, put yourself in that position as we go through here. Because as we're contemplating this, this is where we're going to be looking at for Daniel. And we're going to do a little study tonight on just one chapter of Daniel. Came across it when I was reading the other day. I've read it many times. I'm like going, man, that is a powerful chapter. So I'm like going, this is what we're going to look at tonight. But this is where in his mind, where he is approaching the 70 years, okay? What's going through his mind? What has to be done? What do they want to do to be able to go back home, to be able to rebuild things? So last 70 years of the captivity. Now what? Now what are we going to do? Where are we going from here? What has to be done? Obviously, Daniel was a righteous man, so plans to be made, reflection on what caused the captivity. That's a big one. That's a really, really big one, because to continue doing the same thing over and over again is insanity, and it leads in the same direction. It's always going to lead in that same direction. So what caused this captivity is these are all the concerns. I would think that as an inmate, somebody's getting out of prison. I don't want to come back here. I'm worried that I'll get back to here. So what do I have to do? I have to be doing something to keep away from that, the excitement and the caution. So we're going to be looking at this here. We're not going to start off actually in Daniel chapter 9, I don't believe here. It reveals some important details. So it's a very, very unique, actually chapter 8 and chapter 9 together, but we're just doing chapter 9 tonight. It is incredible. It's absolutely incredible, the things that take place and what's manifest to David, or I mean to Daniel. Babylonian captivity was going to be ending soon. This is all within this chapter. Israel's kingdom would not be restored immediately. The coming Messiah would die. Israel faced great trouble before the promised kingdom would be established. Daniel, as we're setting the stage for here before we go to it, Daniel's in his 80s now in Babylonian captivity. First year, Darius, that's Cyrus, isn't that Chuck?
No,
Cambyses. Cambyses, okay, Cambyses, okay. So first year of Darius, so this is kind of setting the stage for where we are when we jump into chapter 9.
Yeah, so you're talking about, this is chapter 9.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so
Cambyses. Cambyses, okay. So first year of Darius, Cambyses, Daniel knew that the 70 years was about complete. How did Daniel know that?
Jeremiah.
That's exactly right, from Jeremiah. You'd been reading Jeremiah, that's correct. Let's start off there, Jeremiah 29. Chapter 29, verse 10, and that's going to be on page 747, I believe. Yeah. All right, would somebody read that for me, 10 through 14?
I will. For thus saith Yahweh, that as soon as there are fulfilled to Babylon 7 years, I will visit you and establish for you my good word by causing you to return to this place. For I know the plans which I am planning for you, declareth Yahweh. Plans of welfare, not a calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So shall ye call upon me, and go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. So shall ye seek me and find, for ye will inquire after me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, declareth Yahweh. Oops, sorry. And will turn back your captivity, and will gather you out of the nations, and out of all the places whither I have driven you, declareth Yahweh. And I will bring you back into the place whence I had caused you to be carried away captive.
Thank you. That's it. Okay? So this is it. This promise is coming. So as he's reading this, he knows that it's the 70 years. He's looking at it to see if you do any of the astrology or you're keeping track of it, you'll know that it's coming pretty close. Okay? So as we're looking at this, there's a couple factors that we're going to, as we dissect chapter 9, there's a couple factors in there. The supplication of Daniel. And it's pretty neat, his routine of how he did it, because his laying out was pretty lengthy and pretty detailed as far as the process. And like one, it's very noteworthy because Yahweh puts it in here. Yahweh put it in there with that much emphasis to show. So I'm like going, okay, there's something for us to glean out of that. You're going to look at the heart and the motion of Daniel, the structure and orders of his supplication. You're going to see the confessing, calling on Yahweh, the praising of Yahweh, and a pouring out of thanksgiving from Yahweh to Yahweh. Okay? And so this is what Daniel's doing. Now, Daniel's a righteous man. He's a righteous man, and he is doing this almost if Bollinger says that it's like a type of Christ what he's doing here. Because he is taking on the sins of Israel. Is what he's doing. So he goes, so he, this is kind of a unique thing for him. Alright, so let's go to Daniel. Okay, flip over here to the right here. Go the right way here. Somebody call it a page. There we are, Daniel 9. Okay. Daniel 9, 3 through 19, and I will read this once I get to it. We're on about page 851, 850, somewhere around there.
855.
Thank you. Chapter 9. Okay, chapter 9, starting in verse 3 through 19. Okay. Encouraged, you see at the top of the chapter 9, encouraged by Jeremiah's prophecies, okay, and the intercessions of the city and his people. So we're going to start off in 3. So I let my face unto Adonai Elohim to seek him by prayer and supplication, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Yea, I prayed unto Yahweh my Elohim, and made confessions, and said, I beseech thee, O Adonai, thy El, great and to be revered, keeping the covenant and the Hesed to them who love him and to them who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity, and have been guilty of lawlessness, and been rebellious, even departing from thy commandments and from thy regulations, and have not hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, who spake in thy name unto our kings, our rulers, and our fathers, and unto all the people of the land. To thee, O Adonai, belongs righteousness, but to us the shame of faces as at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel and near and far off throughout all the lands whither thou hast driven them in their treachery wherewith they had been treacherous against thee. O Yahweh, to us belongeth the shame of faces, to our kings, to our rulers, and to our fathers, in that we have sinned against thee. To the Adonai our Elohim belong compassions and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him and have not hearkened unto the voice of Yahweh our Elohim to walk in his instructions, which he set before us through the means of his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even going away so as to not to hearken unto thy voice. Therefore were poured out upon us the curse and the oath which had been written in the law of Moses, the servant of Elohim, because we had sinned against him. Thus hath he confirmed his words which had been spoken against us and against our judges who had judged us by the judges by bringing in upon us a great calamity as to which there had not been done under all the heavens, as hath been done to Jerusalem. Even as written in the law of Moses has all this calamity come in upon us, yet entreated we not the face of Yahweh our Elohim by turning away from our iniquities and by getting intelligence in thy truth. Therefore hath Yahweh kept watch for the calamity and brought it upon us, for righteous is Yahweh our Elohim concerning all his deeds which he had done, seeing that we had not hearkened unto his voice. Now, therefore, O Adonai, our Elohim, who didst bring forth thy people out of the land of Egypt with a firm hand, and didst make for thyself a name as at this day, we have sinned, we have been guilty of lawlessness. O Adonai, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thine indignation turn away from the city of Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. For by reason of our sins and by reason of iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people have become a reproach to all who are round about us. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
He's like, golly. Now therefore, hearken, O our Elohim, unto the prayer of thy servant, and unto his supplications, and let thy face shine upon thy sanctuary, that is desolate desolate for the sake of thy servants. O Adonai, incline, O my Elohim, thine ear and hearken. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations in the city on which hath been called thy name. For not on the ground of our own righteousness are we causing our supplications to fall down before thee, but on the ground of thine abounding compassions. O Adonai, hear. O Adonai, forgive. O Adonai, hearken and perform. Do not delay. For thine own sake, O my Elohim, because thine own name hath been called upon the city and upon thy people. Yeah, so that's an incredible prayer by Daniel. And so as we go through here, we're gonna continue this. So now he's laid out the prayer, okay? Laid out his prayer, his supplication came before all the preparation, fasting, sackcloth, ashes, whole thing. He's serious about this and laying this all down, okay? And then here's Gabriel on the scene, okay? Flip back here, one chapter here to 8, and somebody, if they would read, whose phone is that?
Don's.
8:15, if somebody would read 15 through 17, please.
And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and had sought discernment, that lo, there was standing before me as the appearance of a man. Then heard I a human voice between the banks of the Ulai, which cried out and said, Gabriel, cause this man to understand the revelation.
So think about this here. That's not Gabriel that said that. That's not Gabriel that announced that.
Yeah.
Okay? It was pretty impressive. You're like going, somebody threw on their voice here.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, go ahead, 17 through.
So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was terrified. It fell upon my face, but he said unto me, understand, O son of man, that to the time of the end belongeth the vision. And when he spake with me, I fell stunned upon my face to the earth. But he touched me and caused me to stand up where I was.
That's good. That's good right there. Okay, so this is chapter 8. Gabriel came to him, okay, and had told him was discernment for vision, okay, has done this. So here we are in chapter 9, okay, and Gabriel is back in there again. Okay, let me make sure I didn't miss one here. I'm sorry.
He's smoking in here.
No, it did. Okay. Got it. All right. I thought I might have missed one. So the prophecies of Daniel, okay? We're going to look at a few of them here that he had, that these were given to him. Nations and timelines, okay? So to start with, the image of the great statue in Daniel 2, okay? And who it referred to, who it applied to. In Daniel 7, the image of the four beasts. And remember this was going to be the kingdoms, okay? Again, it would show. In Daniel 9, it's going to be the 77s, okay? That's going to be explained to him. And that's what's going to be taking place. Israel, the coming Messiah, and the Antichrist. Okay, so Gabriel, let's go here now. We're still in, if you're still back here on chapter 9, I'll read these here. I'm going to read 20 and 21. Okay? And this is kind of neat, the poetic. You see above there 19, look at how that's laid out in his prayer. It's poetic. It's just beautiful how it's laid out in 19, how he's praying in this. Now we're in 20 and 21. And whilst yet I was speaking and praying, and confessing mine own sin and the sin of my people Israel, and causing my supplication to fall down before Yahweh my Elohim, concerning the holy mount of my Elohim, while yet I was speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in vision at the beginning, wearied with rapid flight, touched me about the time of the evening present.
It's weird.
Okay. Two times, in verse 20 and verse 21, you see that? It is not by mistake that it says that while I was yet still praying. Two of them in 20 and 21. Okay, they're emphasizing this. It's an emphasized thing with this. What's neat about this, okay, is the weary rapid flight. Okay, the weary and rapid flight's impressive because that means it was like a summon now. Go now. And so for Gabriel, he'd almost show up like, I'm here. I'm here. That's what it's referring to right there. That's what it's referring to. Go now. This is what that is, that worry. So evening present. Okay, you see this in 21. Touch me about the time of the evening present. That's the offering, the evening offering. So the evening present was 3 p.m. when the temple stood. Okay, back in the day, this hour was devoted to sacrifices. So now was to prayer. During the whole captivity, Daniel never forgot Yahweh's temple worship. Okay, 70 years and still knows what it is and still is coming before to pray every time at that time frame. Okay, so now we're going to do, somebody would read 22 and 23 for me.
Yea, he came and spake with me and said, O Daniel, now have I come forth to teach thee understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications came forth a word. I, therefore, am arrived to tell, because a man delighted in thou art. Mark then the word and have understanding in the revelation.
Okay, thank you. So, 22 and 23 there, as we look at this, okay? Teach the understanding. Gabriel's coming to teach the understanding. And I have arrived to tell because a man delighted in thou art marked with the word. Mark then the word. Okay, so this is Gabriel telling him that you are a man that is delighted in, that has high esteem. Okay, which is pretty good. And when was he dispatched? At the beginning of the supplications. At the beginning. Okay, 24 through 27, and I'll read these here. 70 weeks have been divided concerning thy people and concerning thy holy city, to put an end to the transgression and to fill up the measure of sin, and put a propitiatory covering over iniquity, and bring in the righteousness of the ages, and affix a seal to vision and prophecy, and anoint the Holy of Holies. Thou must know then, and understand from the going forth that the word to the restorer of the build of, and to build Jerusalem, and unto the anointed one, the prince, shall be 7 weeks and 72 weeks.
62.
I'm sorry, 62 weeks, thank you. The Broadway and the wall shall again be built even in the end of times. Down through 27. And after the 62 weeks shall the anointed one be cut off and have nothing, and the city and in the sanctuary will one destroy with the prince, and so will his own end come in the overwhelming flood. Howbeit up to the full end of war are decreed astounding things, and he will confirm a covenant to many for 1 week, but in the middle of this week will cause sacrifice and present or offerings to cease, and in his stead shall be the horrid abomination outstandeth even till the full end, and that the decreed one shall be poured out on him that astoundeth. Okay? That is chapter 9. Now, there's a lot in there, and especially in that last one, starting there from about 20 on down through the rest of this. There's a lot of stuff that's gone over this. And this is all prophecy that has, some of this has come through, some of it is still to come. But that's impressive because this is 500 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 500 years before Christ. Not quite, but it's that. So we're well past that. So we've seen some of this come through. Okay, so let's take a look at this and we'll kind of break this down a little bit. The 77s. All right, and this is, a lot of this study here comes from here. I got a lot of the information out of here as well. The Rotherham Bible, the appendix, it's appendix 50. 70 weeks, okay, is what it's referring to. And what that's referring to, it's actually not weeks. We're talking 70 by 7 is 490 years. Okay, that's what we're referring to here. 7 weeks plus 62 weeks that we just read about equals 69 weeks. Okay? Times 7 is 483 years. Alright? That's not a math thing here that we're trying to do. It's coming all together here. 62 weeks equals 434 years. The anointed one shall be cut off at that point. So 432 years from this prophecy. Okay? This is pretty detailed. I mean, to have a prophecy that's going to, you know, to be able to prophesy for something that's in 400 plus years from now, Pretty impressive. Yahweh, amen. Good job. Okay, but this is what we see. The 1 week that it says in here, okay? Because when you see this is 7 years. So when you see we're looking at 490 years and the 7 weeks plus the 62, which is always weird how they put things together. You guys know how in Revelations where they're talking about the 7 years of tribulation, how one time they'll refer to it in months, one time they'll refer to it in a year, year and a half a year, other time they'll refer to it by what, 1260 days. It's the same the way you cut it up. It's 3.5 years. Okay, but the way that they write it out is kind of interesting. It's kind of a neat thing that it's like poetic that it's broken down that way. Well, this is the same thing. 1 week is 7 years. The Antichrist makes a covenant to the many. Okay, that's what we just read here all in chapter 9 in those last couple verses. Okay, middle of the week in this, is the 3.5 year point that we're referring to. Sacrifice offerings and the offerings presence will cease, and in his stead shall be the horrid abomination that outstandeth even till full end, and the creed one shall be poured out on him that astoundeth. Okay? This is what we're talking about here with tribulation. This last 7 years here is what we're referring to. Okay, so this prophecy goes all the way deep into Revelation, okay, that he had. And that was, I mean, that's 2,500 years ago, a prophecy like this. That's incredible. And some of it's come true. Some of it is to still happen, but it absolutely will happen. Okay, so what we see on here is this. And on the wing, this was kind of a neat thing because when you look at this horrid abomination, you're like going, what exactly are we referring to? Okay, and this is what it is. So when you look at this here, the wing basically is the horrid. Okay, and that's this number 3671, and the abomination is the 8251. Now, here's the 367, the 03671. Kana, I'm not sure what that is. It's wing, skirt, borders, corners. I believe in this here, what they're referring to is the corners. They're talking about the corners of the temple. Okay, the corners of the temple with this is what I believe it is. But one way or another, it's something to do with the temple. It's something to do with the temple on that. What area or what is going on with that? And then this one is the 8521, okay, and it's the detestable thing. And is that the Antichrist Christ taking residence in the temple and everybody has to come worship him now? I really don't know, but this is it. This is where it comes down to, where we're talking about it. The horrible thing. And we'll make a contract or covenant with the many that are still there. And so that's it. That's a bad thing. Okay. So when you're looking at that, you're like going, okay, things are bad, but there's going to be a contract made for many that are in there. So when we look at the Bullinger Appendix 50, okay, which is on page 60, what it shows on here is this, okay, some additional information. The seven sevens, okay, week of Daniel 9:25 begin with this 20th year of Artaxerxes. Okay. This is what right out of the appendixes. 454 BC and end in the dedication of the temple in 405. That is 49 years. Okay, that's 49 years. So remember when you had the 7 weeks and then the 62 weeks? The 7 weeks is 49 years. Okay, and this is what Bullinger is showing right here, that this is from 454 BC with the dedication of the temple in 405. There's your first 7 weeks, which is the 49 years. Okay. The 62 sevens begin in 405 BC and end in 29 AD with the cutting off of the Messiah. Okay? The seven sevens is the 49 years, which you just went over. The 62 is this 434 years, which is from here to here. Okay? And then therefore it was 483 from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem according to Daniel 9:25 till the cutting off of the Messiah.
What do they mean, the cutting off of?
That he would be crucified, okay. That he would be dead. Okay, that we would be dead. So what's awesome about this is when this is being written, when Daniel had this, guess what's changed? We've got an insert here, the body, the body of Christ. Insert right here that something's changed. This will all come. Put that on pause, okay? We'll get to it. It's all going to take place still, but the body's come in now, and there's been a new administration that was not known. So when they did all this stuff, there was, when he was talking about this, the years that would go into, that most people probably thought after Christ died that it wouldn't be long before it would go into tribulation, okay? And yet here we are, 2,000 years, And we have this insert of what was not known before, the secret. Okay, the sacred secret. And so it's wonderful, it's beautiful as you look through that, and so you can put it all together and be like going, man, that's incredible. Yahweh, golly, just incredible. I mean, praiseworthy is all get out. Okay, the seven sevens end marked by the completion of the dedication of the second temple. And that's Ezra 6:15, and that's what they're talking about. The seven sevens end marked at the completion of it, of the dedication. And so right up to it, it was so accurate. It was very, very accurate on his prophecy that he got, and for them to be told what was taking place, for Daniel to know. So 490 years of Daniel 9. Okay, we've got a couple phases here that we're looking at, because again, like I said, some of the stuff's done, some is not done. I hope that's not too blue. It didn't look very blue when I first put it on, now it does. First phase, return from captivity all the way to Christ. This is where we're looking at. Okay, Jerusalem will be rebuilt and the streets will have a trench. During times of trouble, the Messiah will come, the Messiah will be cut off. Second phase. Antichrist will come to destroy Jerusalem. The final 7 years begins with a covenant between the prince to come, the Antichrist, and the many. Okay? Who are the many?
People who don't want Christ.
No. And I'm guessing, because we are Jerusalem, that a good number of these are probably going to be Jewish. Okay? Which is kind of a sad thing, but this is, you know, many, and this is where he's at. So we got a couple here to finish off on here. Let's go to Matthew real quick, and it's Matthew chapter 24. Going to be on page 26. And if somebody would help me read on this one, this is kind of a lengthy one, 9 through 25. You can split it up if you guys want to.
Yeah.
No, read.
And Yahushua coming forth from the temple of
24:9.
Okay. Then will they deliver you up unto tribulation and will slay you, and ye will be men hated by all the nations because of my name. And then many, because something one another will deliver up and will hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and deceive many, and because of the lawlessness being brought to the full, the love of many will grow cold. But he that hath endured throughout the same shall be saved. And his glad message of the kingdom will be proclaimed to all the inhabitants of earth for a witness unto all the nations. And then will have come the end. Whensoever therefore ye shall see the abomination of desolation that was spoken of through Daniel the prophet.
That's what we just read, okay? That's what we just read. Go ahead. Standing.
Standing in a holy place, he that readeth, let him think. Then they who are in Judea, let them flee into the mountains, and let he that is in the housetop, let him not come down to take away the things out of his house. And he that is in the field, let him not turn back to take away his mantle. But alas for the woman with child, for them who are giving suck in those days. But be praying that your flight may not happen in winter, nor on the Sabbath, for there will be great tribulation, such as hath not happened from the beginning of the world unto the present time. Neither in any wise shall happen, but except in those days I have been shortened, no flesh had been saved. For the sake of the chosen, those days shall be shortened. Then if any unto you say, lo, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For there will arise false Christs and false prophets, and they will show great signs and wonders, so that if possible even the chosen should be deceived.
That's it. And so this is it. This is a direct reference to what we were reading about the abomination of desolation in Daniel. That's exactly what we're reading in chapter 9. Okay? So this is it. Now here's the other great part. In that insert that we are the body, we've got an escape plan.
Yeah.
Okay? We're not part of this. Okay? We're not part of this here. Okay? We're going to see, but we're not going to be in the tribulation like this. Let's flip over here. We'll close off here in John chapter 5, and I'll read this one here. What's that?
97.
Thank you.
96.
Okay. 539. Okay, everybody there? 39 through 47. Yea, search the scriptures, because you think by them to have life age abiding. And those scriptures are they which bear witness concerning me. And yet ye choose not to come unto me, that life you may have. Glory from men am I not receiving, but I have taken knowledge of you, that the love of Yahweh have not in yourselves. I have come in the name of my Father, and you are not receiving me. If another shall come in his own name, him ye shall receive. How can ye believe glory from one another receiving, and glory which is from the one Elohim you are not seeking? Do not think that I will accuse you unto the Father. There is who accuseth you, even Moses, on whom ye have set your hope. Okay, so the reason I'm saying that this is mostly Jews is he's talking to the Jews right here, that you're not receiving me. The heck makes you think that another is gonna pick anything else but me at this point? And that's what he's referring to. Okay, in 46 here, for if ye had been believing in Moses, ye would in that case have been believing in me, for concerning me he wrote. But if in his writings you're not believing, how in my sayings will you believe? Okay, and that's it. And so there's always going to be those people who are going to be stubborn, who are not going to take it. The Jewish population still doesn't accept Christ. They still don't believe Christ has come. So Christ show up, there's what's going to be different? What's going to be different now? Okay, not really anything. Okay, so that's it. That's a little sharing there of it. It's really neat. If you guys want a great read, 8 and 9 of Daniel are fantastic. Boy, there's a lot of power, a lot of stuff going on in there.
Yeah.
All right, Yahweh, thank you for this. Thank you for this sharing. Thank you for all the things that you do, for the way that you use your written word to inspire us, to search you out, to know you, to find the secrets and the treasures that you have, to be able to see the power and the accuracy of your creation and of your word that you give to us, that it is proven over and over and over again. We thank you for that, Yahweh. We thank you for the fact that we have it, that we do not have to hide it, that we can live it and openly confess you and come before you. We thank you for that. We thank you for the words that you give and for all these blessings, and through your Son, Christ Jesus, we say these things. My sons and daughters, lay upon yourselves the tasks that I've called for you to do, and start positioning yourself to complete these off, or as things start to stack up. I see the movie with Lucy, where she's on the conveyor and all the candy's just pouring off. And I see this in your life where you're overwhelmed by the things that are there, and until you slow down and actually look for the guidance that I'm pouring upon you, that it's just going to keep overflowing. You're just going to keep being frustrated. You're going to keep watching things just dump off and pour off to the side. Come before me and let you know that even though it seems awkward for you to step away from something when you're so busy, that through me I will spare up more time, that I will shore up for you the things, and I will show you the ways to walk and to be able to take care of all these things and the tasks that I put upon you, which you seem to put to the back and not to the forward. Amen.
Hallelujah.